Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Why don't we give the Lord a hand of praise for this second Lord's Supper experience? Amen, 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 and amen. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this opportunity now to hear from you, do in the text and in the hearer's heart what you desire. Speak to us, share with us, reveal and unfold the truth that we might not only be hearers of the word but doers of your holy word. We pray, Lord God, that you would receive the glory and your people the good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. 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 If you'll get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord, turn them to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. And it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, no time for glory gazers. No time for glory gazers. If you don't mind, Would you help me preach this message and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we don't have any time for glory gazers. Now, if you believe that, come on, give God some praise. Let me help you understand this theme and this part of the text, if you will. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has walked among men now for some 40 days. He's preparing to go back to heaven, and he has a short discourse with some of the brothers, and they're asking him questions as to, will this be the time that God would restore the kingdom back to Israel? And Jesus tells them, that's nobody's business but the Father. He says, that's in the 7th verse. In the 8th verse, he tells them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. But then he goes on to say, you know, and while he spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10 says, while they looked on him steadfastly as he went up into heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? Up into heaven. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have also seen him, or as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, one of the things that I think is important for you to recognize that the writer is making clear to us is that these men, the Bible says, while they beheld, while they were caught up in what Jesus in his glorified body was saying to them, Jesus was giving them the last commands, and it was literally to be a witness unto him in the earth realm. It wasn't about looking and staring and being overwhelmed and looking at the fact that Jesus, in one of the last miracles they would ever witness, of him literally taking up into the clouds, and the clouds taking Jesus further up until they could no longer see him because he vanished out of their sights on a cloud. They missed the message that Jesus gave them. Go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. It was the first command that Jesus gave after he rose. And then 40 days later, he's telling the disciples, when you receive power, you are going to be empowered to be my witnesses. For a reason.
not simply to enjoy the glory of seeing me leave planet Earth, because one of the things the angels made clear as they spent their time not going to tell the story or not preparing to receive that power that Jesus was talking about, but being glory gazers. There's no telling how long they would have been there, because they were so intently focused on the cloud, no longer being able to see Jesus, that two angels came and stood by them, and they never recognized them. So busy looking up till they never looked around. See, that's the problem with being glory gazers. You don't see what's going on around you because your heads are in the clouds. The two angels were standing there by them in white apparel, and they also told them, ye men of Galilee, why? Now, the reason he asked this question is because they had already been given their instructions. The reason he asked this question is because they had already received their command. The reason he asked this question is because obviously it had not yet sunk in underneath the skin whereby they were able to take what they had gotten and began to put it into action. He was looking at the fact that they were overwhelmed at the Christ who had gone back into heaven, never again to walk here on planet Earth. My brothers and sisters, let me be very clear with you. There are still glory gazers today. Maybe they're not looking in the celestial, the cosmic. Maybe they're looking at stars here on Earth. Entertainment stars, sports stars, singing stars. Acting stars here on Earth. Maybe they're gazing at these who are phenomenal in the natural sense and are overwhelmed by them, and they are wasting their time gazing at folk who can't do nothing for them. I don't really know, but here is the point to the Christian church, and I'm closing. Don't waste your time doing nothing. Whatever God has given you to do, whatever you can put your hands to do, whatever will bless the kingdom of God, help a brother or sister, do what is necessary, do it now. Not find yourself looking at others and things that can bring you no profit or bring no profit to the kingdom of God. We have been called to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know what else your purpose is, that's a good place to begin. Some people say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Let me help you understand. You begin by being a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever his agenda calls for you beyond that, that will always be first on the agenda of helping you understand you are a believer to help win other souls to Christ. I don't care if you are in the choir. I don't care if you're on the deacon or deaconess ministry. I don't care if you're a great pew member. I don't care if you're an usher. All of that has nothing to do with the fact that you're first called to be a witness. So if we are not encouraged to be glory gazers, what are we ought to be doing? Get your pad and pencil out and jot it down. Got five things I want to share with you. One, you ought to be going.
Yes, sir. Tell him, Pastor.
He said, go into all the world.
Yes.
But here, right there in verse 8, he says, also ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. You can't get all of them places by not going. Now, here's what you need to understand. You need to recognize that if you put that in perspective as to who and where you are, then your present place, your present dwelling, your present home is where you begin, and you increase that circle as you move further and further in a greater circumference, reaching as many folk as you possibly can. And you've got to do that by going. Going. Listen, if you're really going to get the message out, you've got to go. You've got to go. You've got to go. Wherever you go, listen, there's somebody. And if there's somebody, you ought to be telling them something. And the something you ought to be telling them that is Jesus saves. Finding out whether or not they're a part of the kingdom. If they are not a part of the kingdom, then it's your job to share a Savior with a sinful world. So that when this life is over, they will have another place prepared for them. So going is the first thing on the agenda when you are a witness. The next thing you ought to be doing in this world is glowing. Wow, because you're supposed to be the light of the world. How are you gonna be the light if you don't glow? It's sad to see so many Christians not glowing these days. Sad, sorrowful, no smile, no joy, nothing illuminating in their lives. You don't see no happiness. You don't see nothing about Jesus that'll make folk want to see you outside of this world. Hard for them to tell in this dark world that you are the light of the world, because your light isn't even shining. I got news for you. The best place your light shines is in darkness. Come on. Tell me, I can't stand my job. All this sin and evil. Can I tell you something? That's the reason why God got you there. Not just for a paycheck, but for you to let your light shine on that job, to get in a place where maybe the TV can't get, the radio can't get, the preacher can't get, but you as a witness can get. And when people can see your light shining, then they're drawn to the light. Want to know what makes you smile all the time? Why are you so joyful? Just went through the most difficult thing in your life, and yet you got joy down in your heart. When they think you ought to be crying and moaning and groaning, they want to know, why are you so lit up? And you get to tell them the joy I have. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away, no matter what I go through. And so then you get to tell them that the light you got came from the light of the world. You're just a light in the world. And Jesus is that light of the world. So not only must you be going, and not only must you be glowing, but third thing is you ought to be growing. How many of you know that the Bible says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There is a difference between growing and getting fat. Some of us are extending, but it's not because we are multiplying. It's not because we are reproducing. It's because we are expanding. Now listen. I'm trying to help us understand something. When you learn how to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you've got more to talk about. You've got more to share with. You know how to be that minister ministering in every situation. Listen, you may not have been called to preach you, but you've been called to minister. Yeah.
Maybe I'll say that again. You may not have been called to preach, but you've been called to minister. As you speak of the word, as you speak of the will, as you speak of the way of God to others and minister to their needs, you are ministering the word that God gave the witnesses. Jesus is your message. The reason why the church can't grow today is because we don't have believers growing. When you are growing, listen, you attract other folk to that issue or that element that's underneath your skin that they want to know about, and that's where you are able to share that Jesus. Right now, you've got so many believers who cannot even share Jesus. The only reason why you're scared to witness is because you don't know what to say. You get a complete stranger who don't know you from man on the moon, but you talk about his subject, and he'll talk like he's been knowing you all his life. How many of you gone to different places or whatever, and you had to sit there and wait? TV might have been on, sports might have come on, this, that, and the other might have come on, and you hit on a subject, and they act like they are the authority on the subject. You can't shut them up. They don't know you from man on the moon. I'm just trying to tell you, when you get to the area where people know something about, it's easy for them to talk about it. That's the way believers ought to be, not glory gazers, but believers who have grown in the word of God to the point where they are able to explain the word. At least enough to explain Jesus to a lost person. So now, not only do you go, and not only do you glow, and not only do you grow, but the next thing is your responsibility is to gather. Gather. Gather what? Who? The lost sheep. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, that there are people in the church, sheep, who have been saved, who get lost in the world? Get lost in the world. Think about some of the people you know. They were walking with Jesus one day, and somehow they got caught up in the world and walked off the path. But you know they know him. But listen at this, some of them get lost, my brothers and sisters, and don't know the way back. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus gave the illustration. What man having 100 sheep lost one, did not secure the 99, and went out looking to gather the one? That lost sheep is so important to the kingdom of God that believers, when they reach this point in their walk with God, will learn how to gather the lost sheep of God. God puts on your heart sometime to find out, where are the lost sheep? It's one thing if they've made a conscious choice to go someplace else, but it's a whole nother thing when they're lost in the world and don't even have the comfort of knowing, I've got a brother or sister sooner or later who's going to recognize I'm not in my place, and they're going to send a search party out for me to find me and bring me back to safety. Sometimes sheep are gazing in the stars, and the flock is moving on. And when they get through looking in the skies, they look around, and the rest of the flock is gone. Who pays attention to the lost sheep?
One of the reasons why Jesus wanted us to be careful and mindful of the lost sheep is because of the danger the enemy can do to the lost sheep. How that sheep can go through different experiences that can ultimately end in that sheep's destruction. Something can knock a sheep down, and a sheep will stay there kicking until somebody picks them up. When you recognize, my brothers and sisters, how important it is to have brothers and sisters watching out one for another. I remember when we were in kindergarten, and whenever we would be going to one adventure or another, they would make us walk in a single line. And then they'd make one of us put our hand on the person in front of us. And then the person behind him put his hand on our shoulder. And it's hard to break the line when somebody's got his hand on your shoulder. Lord, I wish I had a witness. But here we are as God people. We're too mean to put our hands on a brother or a sister's shoulder, and they can get lost and we never know it. Get caught out in the world, caught up in drugs, caught up in drinking, caught up in promiscuousness, caught up in all kinds of evil, and nobody is looking for that sheep. What a joy it is in knowing that the true saints won't let you slip away like that. And then lastly, not only must you go and must you glow and must you grow and must you gather, but the last thing is you ought to be getting ready. Because the scripture says the same way he went up is the same way he's coming back. And it's important for you, my brothers and my sisters, to get yourself together. He said, occupy till I come. Keep on doing the works that I did while I was here until I get back. I need you to keep the fire burning. So when I come back to rapture up my church, I'm going to get those who have already died in faith looking for my coming. And when I come back on the cloud, I'm not coming back here down to planet Earth. I'm not going to walk back down here again. I'm going to hang out in the clouds. Because when I come back, everybody everywhere will be able to see me in the clouds. And the dead in Christ will get up first. I wish I had a help in the house. And those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm getting ready for Jesus' return. Jesus is on his way back, and he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. You, my brother, you, my sister, had better get yourself together. Revelation said when he comes back, if you're lying, keep on lying. If you're playing around, keep on playing around. If you're messing up, keep on messing up. If you're stealing and killing, keep on stealing and killing. Because when the time comes, he's coming back for a prepared people to take them to a prepared place. And my question to you is, will you be ready in that great day? Will you be ready? I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that I'll be ready in that great getting up morning.
when Jesus comes back for his church. God bless you today.